so we've been trying to figure out ways to find evidence of someone else using a technology in ways that modify their environments that we might detect remotely. And yes, it started with radio and then went into optical. What else might be out there that's indicative of technology that we could search for in other ways?
How can the average person be involved with the latest in SETI without having kind of the high-level math and physics?
Well, there are many different SETI projects going on, and anyone who's interested could participate in a number of different citizen science projects, which won't be asking you to decode some strange phenomena that was discovered in data, but more to help use your eyeballs and your human intelligence to classify things that we're still finding it difficult to make machines do. So simple tasks, counting galaxies, counting craters on moons, that kind of thing can be expanded to provide citizen science opportunities.
Through imagery that we're getting from NASA, for example?
Yes, and imagery that will be coming from telescopes that we're thinking about building and data sets that were taken for other reasons. Yes, it's not there yet, but that's one of the things we're talking about, is how to allow more public engagement in this question that the public finds extremely interesting.
And you'll be speaking at Fermilab. Any thoughts do you have on his observations and role in SETI and where it is modern, in the modern setting?
When Fermi said, "Where is everyone?" He was basically saying that if there'd ever been a technological civilization anywhere or any when, at least in our galaxy in the past, then the time for them to progress from primitive early technologies to space travel is very short compared to cosmic times, and therefore they would inevitably develop space travel and begin to settle, to propagate to other worlds, and in a time again that's short compared to the lifetime of our Milky Way galaxy, we would expect every star, every planet to be populated, but we don't see them. They're not here, he said. And so if it's really a paradox, then you have to conclude that we're the first. But I think the rub is being able to say they're not here. We haven't found evidence in our observations. We haven't seen anything credible from the pseudoscience and UFO communities. And we haven't found any evidence of deliberate signals. That's right. We haven't, but we've hardly looked. There could be lots of small nanoprobes, very smart artificial intelligence systems in our solar system that we haven't yet detected.
As you look at the future of SETI, what are you most excited about?
I'm most excited about two things. One, beginning to have the capability to have confidence in detection of transient events, things that aren't persistent. For all these years, we've really required that the signals, anyway, that we've been looking for persist to be confident that they're real. But now we're thinking about technologies that could be ephemeral. The laser beam that accelerates a solar sail might sweep across our field of view for only a short time and then not reappear at any regular interval. And the other thing I'm excited about is, as opposed to us interrogating data that's either archival or incoming and saying, is there a particular pattern in those signals that would indicate some kind of engineering, to have machine neural networks look at the data instead and tell us, you know, there's something there that isn't astrophysical background noise. There's something there. You should take a better look at it. Without us having to tell the machine to find a specific thing we're looking for, we may not be looking for the right thing, but machines will be able to tell us, hopefully in the not too distant future, if there's something in the data that we should look harder at.
Anything that we didn't get to touch on that you want to make sure we cover?
Yeah, I like to say that this conversation is sort of holding up a mirror to the entire planet and saying, ah, look in that mirror, all of you humans, you're all earthlings. You're all the same when compared to something else that might be out there. And I think that exercise of trivializing the differences among us is a really important role to play at this moment, because we have so many challenges that don't respect national boundaries, that have to be solved in global, systemic manners. And if we can get people thinking and acting as earthlings as opposed to Californians or folks from Illinois or the United States or China or Russia, this global perspective, this cosmic perspective, is really important to solving these challenges.